This is the Download on WGN. I'm Justin Coppenlow. My next guest can be heard every Saturday here on WGN. Kathy and Judy air 10 to 12 p.m. when there aren't Northwestern football games. For someone just moving to Chicago, maybe someone who just discovered the partnership of Kathy O'Malley and Judy Markey, you don't know the half. Kathy and Judy is one of the most successful radio duos in Chicago history, anchoring a WGN midday lineup for over 20 years. The late, great Roy Leonard once said, "They are the reason radio was invented."
Wow.
In 2009, after a 20-year run, they were let go from WGN when Randy Michaels and Kevin Matheny tried to change up the feel and the format. But when that bombed, Larry Wirt and Jimmy DeCastro took over in 2013, and one of their first moves was to reach out and bring the girlfriends home. Since then, they've been inducted into WGN's Walk of Fame. So what makes Kathy and Judy great radio? One of the best shows Chicago's ever seen? Tonight, it's my honor and pleasure to welcome Kathy O'Malley and Judy Markey to the Download.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. It's interesting to me because I remember being a kid growing up in Chicago radio, and you guys were just, you were the anchor. You were there. Talk about how you got into it, because you're both writers by trade. You weren't broadcasters.
We worked for opposing newspapers.
Each writing columns in different domains. I wrote a column that was like a comedy column three times a week. And Kathy had the best Rolodex in town.
I wrote the ink column. I was one of the writers of the ink column and covered gossip and show business when it was fun before the internet.
Before the internet.
Yeah.
The internet ruined it?
It ruined it for gossip columns because a secret wouldn't keep. You know, now if somebody knows something, it's there now, twittered out. And with us, you would keep your fingers crossed that it would work overnight.
And you had time to fact check.
Yeah, right. And Judy and I became girlfriends in real life before we were radio girlfriends. We were both asked to be part of a Chicago City Ballet. This was before it was the Joffrey production of at Thanksgiving of Cinderella.
And we were the Wicked Stepmother. There were five different media women asked to be the Wicked Stepmother. And we stomped around. We all wore the same costume, and I'm telling you, it had a belt of Velcro because it was covering about 150-pound difference.
Right. And it was interesting.
That?
Yeah. And we just liked each other and started to date. And actually, the first time we went out to dinner, Judy, I dropped Judy at her car because she was parked a distance from the restaurant. And she's getting out of the car. She said, "Now, don't tell me you're going to call and then not call me."
Like a boy.
Yeah. So that was the beginning. And we were friends.
So what year would this be? This would be
84, 85, something like that.
And at the time, explain to everyone who's listening who may not have been here, I mean, those were big media days, the 80s, 90s, before the newspaper business kind of got...
They were big newspaper
big
days,
newspapers.
Certainly.
So you guys,
right.
I mean, this was the big thing to be a columnist in Chicago at these papers.
Yeah, I guess it was. We got invited to a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we did get a lot of free stuff.
So,
those were the days.
Yeah, wasn't it, though? So, yeah, I mean, and it was, though, it was before... It was while newspapers were big. But certainly before there were 2,000 TV channels and, 143,000 radio stations and outlets, it was a little bit more compact than it is now.
I think about now, it's almost a prereq for someone who works in a newspaper to have a presence on broadcast, to have a presence on TV or radio. It's almost like a package deal. When it feels like if someone started a column today, they'd have to do 15 different things. But back then, that wasn't the case.
Not at all.
It was interesting because I remember at the time that syndication had started to become a deal. And I wrote a couple pieces outside of the ink column for the travel section or for the tempo section. And I would have people say, "Oh, I read your story in the Dallas Morning News." And I got my undies in a bundle because I thought, and I went to the editor and I said, "Don't I get paid for that?" And he said, "No, you don't. That's part of the deal."
And
you write for the Tribune, and Tribune was in a syndicate.
And the beginning of radio for us, we were based on our columns. And Roy Leonard would call up Kathy, and Bob would. I had a day a week with Bob, like
Collins,
half hour
to be
a day.
Guests or to be
right.
Yeah,
right.
And we didn't get paid for that, and we didn't.
It was fun.
It was fun, yeah. And somebody else was driving the ship. We just had to come on and talk about what we'd written. And then there was this amazingly bold program director named Lorna Gladstone, and she decided to, we were friends, and she thought there should be women's voices in radio.
And at the time, they're really, I mean, what was
Bob and Betty, Bob and Betty Sanders. And there were certainly women as guests, but Dorsey Connors maybe did a household hints show.
But it was primarily men.
Yeah, who liked all the food that was being delivered for free.
Yeah, some things never
large.
Changed.
They were very large.
Yeah.
For when you guys were guests on the shows, you liked doing it? I mean, it was something that you thought, maybe I want to do this for a living?
No, absolutely not. Because we could see how many people wanted those jobs and how many people had the voices for it.
So it never
occurred to us. It never occurred to us to do that.
So Lorna comes along and says, you know what? I really like you guys and your different shows. I like what you guys are doing. Maybe you guys should do something together.
Right.
Here's an hour. She gave us an hour.
Was it an hour or two? I can't. I do remember it was Super Bowl Sunday.
When the fewest people in the world.
Kind of a safe bet.
Right.
Nobody's going to be listening to radio.
Yeah, we were quite the alternative
plan. Yeah, yeah. So we came on and we didn't have a clue. We blew some commercials. I know we lost a sponsor who was selling industrial lubricants because we had way too much fun with that reading that spot.
Yeah, we had a hard time understanding that the commercials are what made the radio show on, and that the talking
part was
what was coming before commercials.
Yeah. So
it took us a while.
We're talking with Kathy and Judy, Kathy O'Malley, Judy Markey here on The Download. Let's take a quick break. We come back, talk about, you know, getting into the groove and when you guys moved into your slot in the middays, and talk about what made your show great. When we come back here on The Download, stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight, Kathy O'Malley, Judy Markey, Kathy and Judy. On the WGN Walk of Fame, big names when it comes to WGN and the heritage and everything that this radio station stands for. Let's talk about when you guys took over that slot. When we left talking about Super Bowl Sunday, which had to be somewhat of a success, right?
It was quite the launch. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like when did you realize, okay, we got something here. It's not just sort of a fill-in. We're not just doing one-off kind of shows. So we've got something and we want to build on it.
Well, what did it take, Jude? I think it was a year or so before, because we were doing fill-ins for Roy Leonard on Mondays when Roy decided he wanted a little bit of a weekend. I think it was at least a year before we got our own time slot, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the thing was, this was always like our backup job to writing. You know,
I was working at the Tribune and I just take the elevator down and Judy just walk across the street.
So, you know, we never thought of this as a career at all, partly because of our voices and partly because, you know, we'd been in print for so long. So the fact that we were offered an actual radio show was, I felt confounded by.
What do you mean your voices? You just feel like you didn't have radio voices?
Listen to yours. Listen to ours.
No, we don't.
No, we don't have radio voices. Well, we have real voices, and I think that probably was part of the appeal, that we were from the beginning who we were. And so often when we would go out and meet girlfriends at events, they would say, oh, you sound just like you do on the radio, or you're just like you are on the radio.
Or you're shorter than I thought you'd be.
always shorter than they thought. But it was because we never developed any kind of fake radio
and
persona.
We were really friends. And so, you know, the formula that I think that made it work was that there was three parts, Kathy, Judy, and their friendship.
So that if one of us was gone, if one of us was carrying the show, it was significantly diminished. It was only a third of what it usually was.
Right. And that felt much more like work than just going in and each having our list of topics, not knowing what the other person's topic was going to be.
Well, we never planned anything.
That was going to ask. When you first started, what was the intention of the show? When you sat down, did you say, this is going to be the show? It's going to be a third Kathy, a third Judy,
oh, no.
A third a friend?
No. We started out, we would come in with topics and talk about them before the show and have a ball and laugh at each other and have the greatest lines. And then we'd try to recreate that on radio. And it was like, and so finally we said, let's each keep our own list. Let's not share with each other what topics we have. And we'll do it for real on radio so that our first response is what our first response is.
Yeah, real.
And again, that was part of the this is who we are and this is how we respond. And I remember once, I can't remember if it was Lorna or Mary June or Tisa or one of the many female program directors we had who said, it's okay to be pissed off at each other. If you are in real life annoyed with each other, be that on the air. And that was one part of real that we hadn't yet explored.
Did you guys have a hard time going to the real? I mean, you just mentioned about voices and things where at that time I'm the radio person now.
Right.
Was it hard for you to make that jump to be like real on the radio?
No, it just was never a choice, was it?
Yeah. I mean, I think right away, you know, if they were willing to pay us and it was as easy as it was, and it was really an easy job. It's much easier to talk than it is to write. And
I thought I was never supposed to say it was easy. You and I used to.
When we were.
And I used to, especially at contract negotiation
At contract negotiation
don't
times.
Say it's easy.
Yeah.
No. Now you say it's easy.
Well, now That's is funny. Now. I
All
mean,
right,
it's,
yeah.
it's 25 years later. You know,
right.
it's not like we have big careers ahead of us.
Right.
Where we're trying to march up that great right. salary thing. You know.
Let's do a show at the nursing home.
Right.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, and we just. It was just always who we were. And as it turned out, we would sometimes have the same topics on our list.
Sure.
But it was always one of us would bring it up, and whatever response it was real.
You will always have, when you say one-third, I would say it's almost a fourth, because you had Kathy, Judy, friendship, and fans. Because the way that the callers would interact with you, the way that they've supported you throughout the years, it feels like it's more than a regular radio show.
Oh,
talk
my
Talk about
gosh.
Your relationship it with is. The fans and how you first attracted them when you started Kathy and Judy.
Well, we always made it open. And it was a year or two into it before we realized that we didn't like guests that much. That sometimes it was just like doing a total pimpy thing for something that was going on around town. And we finally decided after we did our first CD, the listeners were a lot funnier than we were, and they were willing to open up their lives to us and tell us the most sometimes hilarious, sometimes remarkable, poignant things about their lives because they felt an anonymity of the radio. And we just finally said, let's just do listeners. Let's not do guests. And certainly when we came back and just doing the 2 hours on the weekends, we're not doing guests. We might turn out doing guests when we're on the stream because people don't tend to call. But we love our listeners, and they were always a huge part of the show.
So they feel like they're our girlfriends because
they talk
about our personal lives.
Right.
You know.
And you're asking them to do the same.
Right.
And
but
we got a lot of that back. Well, I mean, we learned so much from our listeners. The funniest thing I ever learned from a listener was, I still can't get over her.
You still are knocked out.
I know.
I know what you're going to say.
Was this woman who kept her dining room table set all the time with her good silverware and china.
And napkins.
She said, there's no reason for these to be, you know, hidden away on a shelf. And we don't eat in there, but I like to walk by and see how pretty it looks. So it's always ready for Christmas. I just, it just was crazy. And then there was that woman who,
just
with a couch, who used to buy a lot of couches.
Collected furniture. She was a furniture hoarder. Right.
Right.
But it was just this peek into these lives out there that I think has made us both aware of how different many people's lives are from ours. There have been times when people have called up and out of the blue are telling us something that is so personal and mm-hmm. so real that it's just remarkable.
Do you ever feel like there have been times in your careers where you didn't want to be personal, or you said that's too personal, or just grapple with the idea of putting everything out there on the radio?
Everything was never out there.
Yeah. There were a couple things that I always used to like to say, Judy has sex. I remember sex. But we didn't talk much about our sex lives.
Yeah.
We made other people talk about it because
right.
we had that thing Sex Thursday.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But no, pretty much outside of that, people said, I feel like I know you. And we would say, you do. you really, you know as much, which puts us at a disadvantage when we're out there with our girlfriends, because the relationship is real uneven. They know a lot about us, but we don't know a lot about them. Maybe some of them, we know a lot about them, but don't connect it with what they said when they called in. But it's a, it's really intimate. It's really an intimate relationship.
We're talking with Kathy and Judy here on The Download. Kathy and Judy, you can hear every Saturday, 10 to 12, when there aren't Northwestern football games. Let's take a break. We'll take a break for news. We'll get the latest in news, weather and traffic. When we come back, I'd love to talk to you about how you feel about where you're at now, and also just about being trailblazers. I mean, women in radio, you kind of, when you talk about starting, there really wasn't at least someone with your kind of prominence that had the slot you had in mid-mornings anywhere on commercial radio.
Yeah, we were
and I don't
lucky.
Know if that's changed.
Okay.
Because you guys, when you left, I don't think that... Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it when we come back. Kathy O'Malley, Judy Markey, my guests tonight on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download. I'm Justin Kaufman here on WGN Radio. My guests tonight, royalty, the girlfriends in the house. Judy Markey.
You got to get
royalty with our walkers coming. I'm sure.
Kathy and Judy here in studio with me. We're talking about their career here at WGN. You can hear their show 10 to 12. Every Saturday here on WGN. It's amazing. I said in the intro, it's like for people who just listen on Saturday for the first time, maybe they just discovered WGN and they like your show. They're missing out on the fact that, I mean, you really were trailblazers. You were, it was historic here in Chicago to have a duo on the number one radio station in Chicago, a female duo that usually the way radio works and it has for years is the main star is a guy and then the sidekick is a female or, right. You know. For you guys, this was different. Was that challenging for you?
It was fun.
It was just, we never thought of it that way. We just thought it was cool that they let us do it and that we could do that at the outset, that we could do it in conjunction with another job. Because at the outset, we weren't making very much money. It wasn't about the money. It was just fun to be on the radio. And then it wasn't until later that we saw... that there were other, who were those sisters? There were, on NPR,
yeah,
there were
sisters, yeah.
The Kitchen Sisters came on, and that was considered kind of groundbreaking. And I know in Chicago, there were other stations that tried to put two women together to do the kind of show we did, but it never worked because it was lacking
the real friendship.
Format. They were going for a format.
Exactly.
Not
get these two women, get these two women to talk about stuff. And I think for Judy and me, the friendship was the key part, and listeners/girlfriends got that.
You also, your dynamic of your audience, mostly female that listened, and you know, I wasn't...
Incorrect.
I was going to say, I probably shouldn't, I was not here at the time.
Right. It was
okay, let me put it this way. The image, or from outside...
The perception was
that it was women that were listening, because you would see... comments or other, or you talk to men who go, I don't listen to that show.
Right.
Or I don't get it. I don't want to be a part of that. Yeah.
Bull.
But you say it was more than just women.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I think the numbers prove that out. If you were to go back and look at the demos for our show, almost half and half. I think for men, it was kind of an eavesdroppy kind of thing. Once we established Thursdays as Sex Thursday, that they were always...
It was a destination
show. Yeah. Oh, it's Thursday. Got to listen to Kathy and Judy. And we found over the years that they became much more comfortable with calling in and with being a part of the show. At the outset, it was mostly women. But then guys realized it wasn't just about women's stuff. It was about life stuff and families and jobs and worries and philosophy and stuff like that. So it was not...
What do you mean philosophy? I mean...
Well, we talked about philosophical stuff.
I must have been gone.
No, I don't mean like great philosoph. We had your friend Tom, that guy that was he was at Notre Dame. He was a philosopher.
Was he my friend?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. That was his job. Anyway, so we talked about a lot of things. We didn't talk about household tips or anything like that. We just talked about life stuff. And there were guys that finally got that and were okay with that.
For you guys, and I'm thinking about women in media, and there's always, and it's not a perception, it's a reality. It's never an equal thing where there's just in Vanity Fair where they had the big picture of all the late night talk show hosts. And it was all dudes.
Right.
Just all guys
sitting
across the board. And it really grabbed the internet's attention that once again, you know, blink of an eye, women are not represented. That has always been a thing in commercial radio. It's always been a male-dominated field. For you, do you feel like you not only bucked a trend, but were trendsetters for women to get into media, to get into radio, to be a part of something they thought maybe they couldn't be?
I don't know about you, Jude, but I was certainly asked a lot. I really want to get into radio. What do I do? And I always said, I have no idea. Because we felt this fell into our lap. We lucked out. We realized that. I remember Mary June once lifted up a cardboard box and it was full of cassette tapes. This would have been in the 90s. She said, these are all people who want to be on WGN. And some of them were women. I don't know how you get into radio. I don't know what to tell somebody.
Yeah, I mean, and you can't say go write a column for 15 years
right.
to someone.
Right.
And I think, Justin, because we never looked from the outside at ourselves from the broad point of view that you're talking about. Because we were never driven by, that's my goal, I want to be on the radio. And in truth, I wasn't much of a radio listener until I started working on the radio. And now I wake up in the morning and I turn on my radio. So, you know, to be called a trailblazer is like kind and thank you. And but sort of
not something you think about.
Absolutely not. It was a cool job. It was a fun thing to be able to do.
It's surprising to hear you guys say that because, I mean, you're on the WGN Walk of Fame. I mean,
I can't say what I usually
no,
say.
But my point being that there's impact. And there's impact. And if you look at the list of what people think as the icons of Chicago radio, it's probably if you top 20, 18 people would be men. You know, and the other two are you.
No arguing with that.
Yeah.
I think there were probably meetings when the lack of estrogen was noted and somebody said, hey.
This is the walk of fame theory.
My walk of fame theory.
Your walk of fame theory is that they needed women, so they just said, oh, what about Kathy and Judy? Come on.
Well,
no way.
Yeah.
I was not a part of it. I'm new to the station, but I can't imagine
that somewhere in there that it was noted.
You're too humble.
No, I'm not. I think I'm just realistic. I'm not being fake humble. I'm just saying that at some point somebody said, oh, boy, you know, it's going to come up.
Come on.
Let's get a little estrogen on that walk of fame. So anyway, not that it's not an honor. We are
honored
to be on that with Bob Collins and Wally Phillips and Orion Samuelson. That's, whoa.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, the WGN went through a change. In the late 2000s.
Yes.
And you guys were let go. I was doing the research on this.
I did
the research. I saw Rob Feeder's column about how they wanted to spin it that you guys retired.
Right, right.
And you guys came out and said, no, that's not true. We were fired. In 2009, take us there. I mean, how did it feel to be such you guys are such a big part of WGN and then to be let go?
Well, the icky people came in and began to insist daily that we have a take on everything. And they wanted to do the kind of radio where people fight with each other.
On purpose.
On purpose. And that you would instigate it and that you
conflict,
had to have a take on every damn thing. The sun is out today. Well, how do you feel about the sun? Do you think the sun is stupid? And we were not going along with that. And finally, that became clear to them that we weren't going to fight with our girlfriends because we liked our girlfriends.
They said you have to have an opinion on it, whether you believe your opinion
right.
or not. Because
it doesn't
this
have
isn't
to be the
journalism.
Truth.
This is show business.
It doesn't have to be the truth.
And, you know, our show was based on honesty. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have a guest who was pimping a book or anything like that.
Well, we did once
we
were
had,
told to, right?
Yeah.
Robert Goulet, the famous Robert Goulet.
But you have to have one guest.
Yeah, right.
He's pimping the book.
So anyway, they had a meeting with us and said, okay, it's over. And it was three weeks down the road. And the reason that they didn't do it that day was because they had made a commitment to a sponsor that we would appear at the opening of the Best Buy store in the Hancock Center.
Radio.
And so they paid for it. So we did the appearance at Hancock at Best Buy. And then the next day was our last day on the radio.
And my favorite thing, my story, I love to
tell. Oh, you can't tell the story.
I'm gonna tell it.
You can't say that word.
I know how to get around that word.
Oh, okay.
So the program director at the time, and we want to give you a great send-off, and we're going to have the Best of Kathy and Judy Week, and Kat says, hun, you're effing firing us.
We're not doing a victory lap. Right. That's what he kept saying. I said, we'll do a victory lap and we'll have a big public, you know, last show. And we said, oh, for Pete's sake, you're firing us. So anyway, we did. It was a great run. It was, and the loveliest part of it was that they had to pay us for a year. Our contract was for another year. So that was still beyond me why they would be willing to do that, but they did it. So we never covered that up. We didn't work for a year and we're paid. So
let's take a quick break because I'm running over on time. Kathy O'Malley, Judy Markey. Kathy and Judy, you can hear them Saturday mornings, 10 to 12. When we come back, let's talk about your time off coming back and what it means to be back on the radio in Chicago. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guests tonight, Kathy and Judy in studio. You can hear them every Saturday morning here on WGN 10 to 12 when there's not Northwestern football, of course. So you guys had some time off, you know, before you came back, before Jimmy had you come back in 2013. What were you thinking? Were you thinking radio was over for you guys?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It never occurred to me that we would be on radio again. June?
I'm different. I wanted to put together a show that was not going to air on this station. It was going to air on a station you work for.
Yeah.
And it was going to be a panel of four people, and I did a pilot. I liked the title. Nobody did. Called Ain't Dead Yet. And it was basically going to be people from 55 and up with their issues and have a panel and respond to it. Thump.
Yeah, and I was done. Judy was kind enough to say, do you want to be involved? And I said, no, I think I'll pass. I think I'm done.
Why were you done?
Because it was just, for me, how do we ever go back and pick up what we did before? It was too cool. It was too magical. It just wasn't going to happen again. And then it did. Yeah.
One of the great things about that time of you being off is that your fans, you know, set up different platforms on Facebook, other places.
They did.
They kept it going. They kept Kathy and Judy going. It didn't matter if you're on the radio. And I think that says a lot about what you meant to them, and they wanted to continue that conversation.
Right. It was very sweet. And we couldn't really talk a lot about it. We couldn't really jump in on those platforms, the Facebook pages that were set up and everything, because of this one-year deal and the contract and everything. But it was so sweet to realize that they were still out there and they still loved us. And when it was announced that we were coming back, it was just so welcoming. And
it was always so dramatic to go to the supermarket and someone would come to you in the peas and asparagus aisle and say, I just hate that you're not on anymore.
Especially now, to hear it now and you go, well, excuse me, we've actually been on for 2 years.
That plays to the idea of what you set up. I mean, you are real. You're real on the air, off the air. People feel comfortable. They feel like your friends to be able to go to the grocery store and talk to you, to see you and in places that aren't public.
Right.
For you. I mean,
Grocery stores just in our life. In our life places. Right. Yeah.
And you set that up. So now you guys are going to have to live with it.
It's lovely. I mean, it's very sweet. Sometimes people will apologize. I said, don't apologize. What were we without you? We weren't talking to thin air. We were talking to girlfriends. So, hi. Give me a hug.
What's your name?
Right. Yeah, right. Give me a hug. Right. Thank you.
Now that you're back, how has radio changed for you? I mean, you had that run. You guys were a big, huge part about Chicago radio. When you think of not only how's radio changed for you, how you do it, how has radio in general changed from your vantage point?
Wow.
Too hard.
There's certainly a lot more options. There's a lot more options. There's certainly Sirius Radio where there's how many stations. It's just crazy. I think the future of radio is interesting at best. I think people still love that connection. And for us, I think that connection still exists. Mm-hmm. And it's not about guests or being fake or making something up or causing controversy. It's just about talking to people. And I think that will exist forever, whether radio does or not.
Yeah, you know, they always said, well, newspapers, there's not going to be newspapers anymore in Chicago when USA Today came. I remember how terrified both publications were. And they continued, but newspapers are being marginalized. I mean, you know, I read my newspapers online.
Right.
You know, it's much more comfortable. And we take our TV shows in differently. I mean, it should be changing. That's what, you know, living to the next day is. I mean, who would want the same old thing? I'm not afraid of it.
I mean, you still have a show, so I don't, I don't mean this in any disrespect, but do you feel like you could do what you did, say, in 1995 or 1997 with Kathy and Judy, 10 o'clock in the morning, today?
Yes, absolutely.
No.
Why?
Because it's too much hard work.
Oh, no, I mean, you're taking it from the aspect of us doing it. I think Justin is saying, does the concept live with the concept if it weren't hard work? And yeah, I think there is always a form. When we had our last show, I was fine until I just started to talk about, we're off the air now, but look around you and go to your girlfriends. Go to your girlfriends for love and support and advice and everything else. And that's when I lost it, because I felt at that point like it had been a forum for that, for people to...
You mean lost it, started to cry?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And I just always felt that when anybody came, when we talked to anybody with a big problem, that somebody else always called and said, it's okay, I was there, got better, here's what I did. That it was always a place where people, even though one was in Downers Grove and one was in Des Moines, they still joined forces and they were still girlfriends, and it was because of the radio. I think that still stands.
You know, I ask this question to everyone I have on the show, because it's almost become a project for me to really ask about the city that we live, the area that we broadcast to. What makes this place great or not great? I mean, that's up to you guys, but... What do you think makes this place tick? You've been on the air for so many years. What's great or what's not great about this town?
I don't know anything that's not great about it. I think what's great about it is people. And I love to see people on the street who are obviously tourists and see people that you know are from here go up and look over their shoulder at the map or whatever. I think people here are nice. I generally do. And I think the dynamic of this beautiful city with the water, with the rivers, I just think this is a beautiful, sparkling city. And I think the people are, too.
And I think there are a lot of characters in town. And I like that. And it has such a great literary tradition. And, you know, with the two universities, all of that, two ball teams. I never expected to wind up here. I grew up in Beverly Hills, California. And I love Chicago. Chicago's home. You know, if we fix the weather thing, it's really going to be perfect.
It's going to be perfect.
Kathy O'Malley, Judy Markey, Kathy and Judy. You can hear them Saturdays 10 to 12 here on WGN. I can't thank you enough.
This was fun. Thank you.
Coming in tonight and being my guest on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. You're welcome.